I start it, that'll help. I'm going to take two readings tonight, out of the book of Matthew. Actually, you can find at least one of these, all three of them, in all three of the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I'm going to take my reading, both of them, out of Matthew. They're both short passages. In the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus is giving what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, and he goes through a lot of different things and talks about a lot of different things on this Sermon on the Mount. But in the 21st verse, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And then I'd like to turn over to the ninth chapter and begin about the ninth verse and read a short passage there as well. In the ninth chapter, beginning at the ninth verse, it says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many of the publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, the other night I tried to preach, and I had three questions that I presented. One was, where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? Well, I'm not going to re-preach that message. And you may wonder how this is all going to fit together and where I'm actually going with this message. But I hope that you'll listen because I hope that it will come together at the end. And there is a lot of the in-between that I think is important for us. But I do want to tell you where it's coming from. The title of my message tonight is, Will You Come or Will You Go? Will you come or will you go? A number of years ago, actually it was in 1993, I believe. It was 1993. When I was in Australia, pastoring Sherwood Hills Baptist Church there, Brother Koji Tajima came down from Japan. He and his wife and daughter, and they brought a friend with them. And he helped me in a two-week revival there. And Brother Tajima one night preached, and the title of his message was, Will you stay or will you go? And I'm not even going to the same text that he used, but he told the story about the first time that he came to America, which I believe was in 1990, because I was with him that year, and we had gone up to Alaska for the organization of North Star Missionary Baptist Church, and Brother Tajima spent quite a bit of time here, and he may have been here on other occasions before that, but I spent a good bit of time with him that year. But he said that he'd gone into a restaurant and ordered something, or went up to a restaurant and ordered something, and they said, "Are you going to stay, or are you going to go? Take it with you." Well, they didn't do that in Japan. They didn't have such thing as takeout in Japan. And so he was confused, and he asked them what they meant. And they said, "Are you going to stay here and eat, or are you going to go and take it with you?" And so he figured it all out. But he used that as the subject of the message. And he took his subject from, I believe it was 2 Kings in the 7th chapter, where Samaria had been entrenched round about by the Syrians, and they had been holed up in there for several months. As a matter of fact, all the food had run out. The people were starving. It had reached the point where that there was an incident where that two women had even taken and said, the one said that we'll kill my son and eat him today, and tomorrow we'll kill your son and we'll eat him tomorrow. and that it even transpired that the famine was so great, and it looked like there was no hope, but there was four lepers that had said, you know, the Syrians, they have all kinds of food, and we're going to die anyway. We can stay here or die, or we can go and live. And so Brother Todd Jima used that thought, and his thought was, you can either stay where you are and die and go to hell, or you can go to the one who's got food and the one who can give you life, and you can live. And I've always remembered that message, and so I kind of have taken this title from the thought of that message as it came to me within the last couple of days. But I'm not gonna use that exact same thought, but I want you to know where this title came from. It was a kind of a leftover, or maybe a twisting a little bit of Brother Todd Jima's. But remember this title: Will You Come or Will You Go? Now, as we opened up and read the one passage, certainly Jesus is talking about the future point where that there will be a great judgment. But the passage that we read in the last, where that he called Matthew, he said in that passage, he said that I have come to call sinners unto repentance. That was his purpose. Now, he was talking to Pharisees who were self-righteous, and they believed that they were okay with God. And I think perhaps Jesus' message was particularly to them, because they were questioning why was he eating with sinners. And they certainly recognized Levi or Matthew as a sinner because he was a publican. And Matthew had thrown this great feast for Jesus. And so they were all gathered around, and they were questioning why that he was eating with them. And Jesus said that he had come to call, not just to call the righteous, but to call sinners unto repentance. And I want you to think about that for just a little while tonight. And that's where I'm coming from, is the idea that I heard from Brother Todd Jima. But what I want to talk about a little bit tonight is that call. That call that Jesus said that he come to call sinners unto repentance. And I want you to think of what a call is. A call is something that has gone out to demand your presence, or to at least to announce something and to request your appearance. And so that's what Jesus said that he came to do. And he does that in many different ways. And we got a little bit in this message tonight, certainly for the lost, but also for those who are saved, and for all of us who may have been saved for a long time. Because there's many calls that come out from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that the first call that comes out from Him is that call to accountability. That's the first voice that you hear of God. You see, that's what that Adam and Eve heard in the garden there. Brother Mike talked a little bit about that last night, about temptation. But you see, after they had yielded to temptation there in the garden, and after they had partaken of the forbidden fruit, God called them accountable. And he came down and he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam was hiding. And Adam came out, and he recognized, he and Eve had both recognized their nakedness. And so that's the first recording of God's voice calling someone to accountability for their sins. And I want you to know, and particularly you young ones tonight, that that's the first thing that you're going to hear, the first call that you're going to hear coming from God Almighty and Jesus Christ as He was here, and He continues to do that by His Spirit that we call the Holy Spirit. He is going to call you accountable. He's going to call you accountable before Him. And just as our granddaughter, Olivia, is now beginning to ask questions, well, how will I know when I'm lost? You'll know. You'll know, because it's a voice like you've never heard before, and you will just know. I can't tell you when. Mom and Dad can't tell you when, but you're going to know. And that's the first call that you're going to hear come to you, is accountability before God Almighty. And you're going to know that you have transgressed God's law and you're not right with Him. You're going to know that you're not right. And you're going to want to do the same thing that Adam and Eve did, and that is go somewhere and hide, or at least not let anybody know. I mentioned the other night, jokingly, about Sister Zoe, that a few couple, 3 years ago, before that she was saved, her grandma, grandpa, mom would ask her if she'd lost, and she'd say, "No, I'm not lost. I'm not lost." But the night that she came and told it, and then I asked her later, I said, "I thought you said that you weren't lost." She said, I was lying. She didn't want anybody to know it. See, she was trying to hide it. She was trying to hide it. And you'll try to hide it as well. You'll try to hide it. And you can only hide it for so long. And that's the first call that will come, is that call to accountability for your sins. And young people, I want you to know that you're not the only one that's ever been called. Every living or dead human being, anyone who's ever lived, and come to a knowledge, to an age of whatever that it is, whether it's 8, 9, Brother Mike mentioned the other night someone that had been 6 years old that had been saved. I know Brother Steve Skinner, I've heard his testimony. He told me he was 7 years old when that he got saved. And so I don't know what the age is, and you may not quite understand what that voice is that you're hearing. We can read in the scriptures of a little boy named Samuel, whose mother had prayed that God might give her a child because she was barren. And her heart was broken because she didn't have any children. And she come before God and she got down and she cried and she cried out to God and that if God would give her a child, that she would give him back to God. And God gave her a child, a little boy named Samuel. And the Bible tells us that that she took Samuel back to Eli, who was the high priest at that time, that he might be instructed, that he might serve God there in the sanctuary, and that he might help Eli. But he was just a little boy. We don't know how old, but we do know that one night Samuel was asleep, and while he was in his bed, he heard a voice. And the voice that he heard, he thought was Eli calling. And so he gets up and he goes into Eli. And he said, "You called me, Master?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so Samuel goes back to bed. And then he hears the voice again. And he goes back into Samuel. And Samuel says, "No, I didn't call you. It wasn't me." And Samuel realized it must be God talking to him. God's got something for him to do. And so he instructed Samuel. He said, "You go back. And the next time that you hear that voice, you say, 'Lord, here I am.'" And so Samuel went back, and sure enough, God spoke to him again. And Samuel responded, "Lord, here I am." Then the story goes on from there, how God spoke with Samuel. And Samuel grew up to be a great man of God. And so just as Samuel had to finally discern that voice and realize it was God talking to him, you too will have to come to the realization that what you're hearing, and it may not be an audible voice, it probably won't be, but it will be a feeling that you have in your heart. It will be an awareness. You have a conscience. You have a conscience that tells you that something's right or something's wrong. Much of that comes because that mom and dad have instructed you that you're not to do this and it's not right to do that. And so when you do something that you've been instructed is wrong, your conscience pricks you and tells you that's not right. You tell a little lie and you know it's not right, and your conscience pricks you. You take the cookie that mom told you not to take, to stay out of, and you think you're hiding it from her, and you might, but you know that it's wrong. That's your conscience. And that's the place where God will begin to prick you, is in your conscience. And your actions will begin to tell you that something's wrong, that your actions are not right with God. And so God will call you accountable. And if I don't move on, I'm not even going to get close to the end of this message. That's the first call that God will have, is the call to accountability. Now, after He calls you to accountability, why is He calling you to accountability? Why is He calling you and letting you know that something's not right in your heart? It's because that you need to repent of your sins. That's what Jesus meant when He said that I have come to call sinners to repentance. And the first thing He wants to let you know is that you're a sinner. That we are all sinners, that we've all come short of the glory of God. And so He's letting you know that you are a sinner. And when you realize that, That call is to repentance for the fact that you have sinned against God, that you have committed a trespass that God that has been offensive to God. Just as Adam and Eve's trespass was offensive to God, and they knew it, and they recognized it, you too will recognize it, and God is then calling you to repentance. Now, He has some other things that He may call you to, but until you come to repentance, that's where you stand. As a sinner, once you recognize that, until that you have come to repentance and repented of your sins and trusted God for the salvation of your soul, that's the call that will continually come to you. Whether you hear the call when you're 6 or 7 years old and you fail to respond, and then you get to be 11 or 12 or 13 and you hear the call but you fail to respond, you're still a sinner. And the call is still to repentance. And until you have come to repentance of your sins to the satisfaction of God Almighty, not to the satisfaction of the preacher, the satisfaction of mom and dad, or somebody who wants you to be saved, and we all want you to be saved, but God is the one who has to be satisfied that your heart is truly repentant of your sins. And until you come to that point, it doesn't matter if you live to be 86 like Sister Wilma, if you have not repented of your sins, that's the call that's coming to you, is repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that call will continually come until that you hear it and respond to it. Now, let's relate that back to the passage that we read about Matthew. What was Matthew doing? Where was he? Matthew was at work. He was sitting at the seat of custom doing his job. And Jesus comes by and says, come and follow me. And now, that tells me that the call that we get can be come where, no matter where we are. You might be at home in your bed. You might be at church. You might be at school. You might be driving the car down the road if you're old enough to drive. But when that call comes, it will come from God when He passes by. When He passes by, you see, because that's when it came, was when Jesus passed by Matthew and he was sitting there at the seat of custom. And I can tell you that there are times in which that the Lord passes by and he'll be a lot closer than he is at other times. I hardly ever take my jacket off, but I'm hot tonight. I'm going to take that thing off if you'll allow me to. I'm here to tell you that whenever that the Lord passes by close to your heart and He makes that call, that's the time to respond. Now, we have the story in the Scriptures of blind Bartimaeus, who was sitting by the roadside just outside of the city of Jericho, and there was a big throng around Jesus, and Jesus was coming out of the city, and Bartimaeus heard that He was coming, and the news had traveled down to him, and Bartimaeus began to make a loud cry, and the disciples and the other tried to shut him up, and he cried the louder. Do you know why he cried the louder? Because he was blind and he wanted to see, and he had heard that Jesus could fix him, and he might never have another opportunity for Jesus to pass by, and he did not want to let that opportunity pass. And so as Jesus got close to him, he began to cry out the louder so that Jesus could hear him. I tell you, every sinner that's ever been saved has got to that point where they cried out louder and louder from their heart. Maybe not with their voice, but with their heart. Lord, give me an audition. Give me what I need. And Jesus stopped in the middle of all of that crowd and turned to blind Bartimaeus and said, what can I do for you? And gave him a personal audition. And he said, oh Lord, that I might see. And Jesus gave him sight and gave him what he asked for. And then we find that blind Bartimaeus followed him. But the point that I want to make is, there are times that the Lord will be closer to you than He is at others. Those of us who have been saved can tell you for a fact that sometimes you feel the Spirit dealing with you stronger than you do at other times. And it's when the Spirit is dealing with you that you need to respond, just as Matthew responded when Jesus passed by right there while he was at work and he heard that call. And so Jesus said, I come to call sinners unto repentance, and I will do it wherever you are. And whenever I'm close to you, what you need to do is exactly what Matthew did. He got up and he followed Jesus. Now, I don't know whether Matthew was saved at that point or not. That's not the object of my message tonight. But it's to tell you that he left his work, he left everything behind, and he followed Jesus. And folks, that's what it's going to take. You're going to have to leave everything behind. You're going to have to leave mom and dad and or a car or toys or whatever that is the most precious to you. Leave that behind and follow Jesus and come to him when he calls and says, follow me. And so that's the nature of the call that you're going to receive to repentance, is to come to him. He's not going to send you somewhere else. There's nobody else that has the ability, that has the power to forgive you of your sins and to give you eternal life. Jesus is not calling you to send you to Muhammad. He's not calling you to send you somewhere else. He's calling you to him to come to me. And I love that song, Come Unto Me, and I Will Give You Rest. Nobody else can do that. Now, Jesus had said, as he was talking here in the house of Matthew, he said that, it was back in the other passage, where he said that about those who would do the will of his Father. You know what the will of Jesus' Father is, was then, and is now, and always has been? That you would believe the report that has been given of his Son. That he came into this world, lived a life free of sin, and died on a cross, taking your sins upon him, and was and rose from the dead to victorious over sin and death. That's what God wants you to believe. That's the will of God, that you would believe that and trust in what Jesus did. Anything short of that does not measure up to the will of God. And so when Jesus said that he came, and those that he prepared a place for were those who had done the will of God, he's not talking about our works here on earth. He's talking about our trust in the work that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ there on Calvary. I've got to move on. Now, once he saves you, and I've got to move on. And if you're here and you're lost, I hope that you'll think about the things that I've said. But I want to move on just a little bit. Because once He saves you, He calls you to separation. He says, come and follow me. You'll be where I am. Now, the other night, I preached on who's on the Lord's side. Remember that message where that Moses drew the line out at the gate? And he said, whoever's on the Lord's side, come over here. And so the call from Jesus, when he saves your soul, he intends for you to be separated from the world, just as he separated his people, Israel, from Egypt and from the rest of the world into a place that he prepared for them. And he did that for a reason. And the reason is because of the sin and the wickedness and the evil that's in the world. He realizes how difficult that it is for us to live in amongst that. And so he calls us to be separated from it, because that we are to follow him in righteousness. We are to live a life that is pleasing to him. And we cannot do that as long as we are entangled in the things of the world. And so we're to be separated. We're to be separated from the world. Now, I mentioned this the other night, and I want to do that again, because it's an important point. Brother Mike mentioned it in his preliminaries. And that is that once the Lord has saved you, and once he has saved you, he has a purpose and a plan for you. And the first thing that he wants you to do is to be separated from the world and separated unto him and his people. That's why that he told us to go out into the world and preach the gospel, and all those who believe, that we were to baptize them and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded us. And so God wants you, once he saved your soul, he's brought you to repentance for your sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants you to become a part of his church. He wants you to be part of his people, and that's why that we have the ritual of baptism. It does not save you, but what it does, it publicly declares that you have been died, and that you have been separated from the world, and that you have been buried and resurrected as a new man. You're not the same man that you were, or the same girl that you were. But there's been a change take place inside. That there's a new man that lives in there. And that new man that lives in there is a piece of God. And that we are now going to walk after that new man, not after the old man. And so we are separated. And that baptism is the public declaration to the whole world that God has saved us, and now we are walking with Him and with His people. And so He declares, He calls us to that. Now, that's a command. That's a command. And you know, it's a shame. It is truly a shame that so many people today are declaring that they've been saved, but they never follow the Lord in baptism and join the Lord's churches. Now, you notice that one thing we don't do as missionary Baptists is we don't just baptize people and send them out into the world and say, go join the church of your choice. That's not what the Bible teaches us to do. The Bible teaches us that we're to baptize them and bring them in and make them a part of who we are, and that there be a part of this body. And so as we baptize those that have been newly saved, we bring them in, and they, for lack of a better term, they become grafted in, and they become a living part of us. And so that's a call that the Lord has, and you may be hearing that call tonight. I hope that you are. I've heard that call. I've heard that call. When I was a young boy, after I'd been saved, I wanted to be a part of the church. I wanted to be a part of the church. And so I sought out to be baptized and become a part of that church. And so I know that that's what the Lord would call you to as well, because it's within that church and that body that He's got work for you to do. He's got work for you to do. And the work is this call to service. I need you to come and work for me. That's what Jesus is saying to those that He saved. If He didn't have work for us to do, He would just simply take us on to heaven and it would be over. But He leaves us here because the work is here in this world. And there's a lost world out there, and as it tells us in the Old Testament, that the fields are white to harvest, but the laborers are few. And boy, that's the truth. I stood right outside on the steps the other night talking to Brother Reynolds, and we talked about the need for laborers, the need for those who are willing to work, those who are willing to pastor churches, those who are willing to make the drive from place to place when necessary. We need more laborers in the field. We don't just need hangers-on. We need laborers. And the laborers need to be a part of God's people, and they need to be committed to it. In the book of Romans, in the 12th chapter, Paul, as he's talking to the Roman at the church in Rome, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That's not W-H-O-L-Y, but H-O-L-Y, holy. That means righteous. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is it not reasonable to serve God after that He saved our soul, that He's brought us to repentance, He's taken away the trouble and sorrow, and He's given us joy in our heart, and He's given us eternal life? Is it not reasonable for us to serve Him? And how can we serve Him? We need to serve Him with our bodies. That means we've got to show up, fill the pew, we got to lead the singing, we've got to be the treasurer, we got to be the clerk, we've got to do all of those things that are necessary in order for this visible body to function, because what this visible body, what we call a church, is doing is, as Paul referred to it, he said, ye are the body of Christ. And I want you to remember, when Christ was here, what did He do? He took His feet and He walked from Jerusalem down to Galilee. And He walked all around the area. And everywhere He went, He preached the gospel. Everywhere He went, He exalted God, His Father. And He condemned sin. That's just a warning. That doesn't really mean anything. He condemned sin. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to be His feet. We're to be the ones who now go out into the world and preach the gospel. We're the ones who need to go out and to condemn sin. As we, Brother Mike talked the other night, and as we've tried to say as well, we can't condone it. It breaks our heart when we see people that are pulled into drug addiction or alcohol addiction or sex abuse or whatever that it might be. But let's be honest, what it is, it's sin. It's sin, and we have to take a stand against it and point it out to them. How do sinners know that they're sinners? Because that they've heard the truth, and God, by the Holy Spirit, takes the truth and pierces their heart with it and says, your actions do not line up with the character and the righteousness of God. Therefore, you are wrong and you need to repent. And so how are they going to hear unless we go? And so we are the body of Christ. We're the tongue that preaches the gospel. We're the heart that feels for those who are in trouble and sorrow, for those who are hurting. We're the ones who minister to the sick when we can. We don't have the power to raise the dead or to give sight to the blind, but we have the power to pray. We have the power to bring them before God Almighty and make that need known. But most of all, we have the power to plead for their soul, that God might save their soul, because the body's going to die anyway, but the soul is eternal. And how are these things going to happen if there are no workers? If there's no one who's willing to come and not just sit in the pew, but to do something, to be involved, to teach the Sunday school, to do the things that need to be done. Generations pass away. Old folks like me and Sister Wilma, I like to pick on Sister Wilma, we're going to pass away. And somebody's got to pick that task up and go on with it. And so there's a call that comes to service. Now, after we've all been called to service, that clock went off way too soon. You see, there's another call that comes. And that is a call to death. And God will call every one of us unto death. And if you've not prepared when that you had the opportunity when the Lord was near and you heard that voice saying, come and follow me, and you didn't do that, you're going to get called to death. And those of us who have been saved, we're going to get called to death. It's appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment. Job said, and I can't quote it, so I marked it so I can go back and read it. Here's what Job said in the 14th chapter. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Job knew that something was coming. He knew that he was going to die, but he also knew that he was going to change. He said, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou shalt have a desire to the work of thine hand. Job's talking about death. You're going to call God one of these days unto death, and I'm going to answer, and this old body's going to pass away, and I'm going to go to be with you because that you did a work, and it's the work of your hand that saved my soul, and you have a desire for the work of your hand to be with you, and when you call, I'm going to answer. And folks, there's a call of death that's coming to everyone, some sooner and some later. We've heard of accidents recently. Brother Mike mentioned a 22-year-old last night. Just turn on the news and listen. Some are young and some are old and some are middle-aged. And every moment of every day, there are people passing from this life into the next. And if they're not ready, the next call that's coming is the call to judgment. Because God said that He would judge all men. He said that every knee should bow and that every tongue should confess that He is God. And Paul said, therefore, we all shall stand before the judgment seat of God. And so there is a call coming to judgment. And everybody's going to come there. Everybody is going to come on that call. And there's where the question comes in that I brought up in my title. Will you come or will you go? Oh, you're going to come to judgment. There's no question about that. You're going to come to judgment. But here's what I want you to listen to. In the book of, in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter. Matthew in the 25th chapter, beginning about the 31st verse. Here's what Jesus said. Beginning at the 31st verse. When the Son of Man shall come, he's talking about when he comes to end the time, when he comes back for those that are his and to bring judgment upon those who are not his, those who have not honored the will of the Father and believed in him, when time shall be no more and the Lord returns, he says, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Will you come? When he says come into that kingdom, are you prepared for that? Do you know him? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in him? Do you know for sure that you've been saved? Because you will get that call to death. You will get that call to judgment. And the Bible teaches us that the books will be brought out. And that there'll be a separation, just as Jesus said. And then in that separation, he's going to say to those that are his on his right hand, come into the place that I prepared for you. And will you come? Will you come into that place? Because that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. And so we go on down. As we go on down in the 41st verse, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Which one of those crowds will you be in? Will you be in the crowd that when he says, come unto the place that I prepared for you, will you be able to come? Or will you be in the crowd that is when he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into the place that's prepared for the devil and his angels, will you go? Which will it be? I don't know the answer for you. I know the answer for me, because I fixed it up with Jesus over 40 years ago, as the song says. It's been much over that. I was 13 years old and I'm 69 now. Somebody else can have to do the math. But when it got fixed up that night, that place was prepared and waiting for me. The call of death will be coming. I don't fear it. I don't fear that judgment, because I've already been judged in this life and found wanting. But Jesus supplied my need and saved my soul. And so when that call to judgment comes, I anticipate it. I'm anxious for it, because I know that the call after that is the call to come into the place that's prepared for me, because he's already gone to do that. But what about you? Will you come or will you go at that last call? Brother Jake, if you've got a song, I've been as long as I need to be. I'll leave it with you. What will you do? Do it now while the Lord is near, because it might be the last call that you get. It might be the last call. And there may not be another opportunity. Call upon him while he's near. Amen. Man, God bless you, Jamie. Someone else. We'll wait. We'll sing in a moment. I've done the best I can to try to present the truth. That's what the Holy Spirit uses to convict, to call to accountability, to call to repentance. That's what the Holy Spirit uses. And if he's dealing with your heart, then you need to respond to it. Yeah. Now, whether that call might be to repentance and faith, that call might be to service. Maybe you've been ignoring something that the Lord has been dealing with you, that you need to be serving him. That call still is just as active tonight. You need to answer that call. I don't know what it might be, but I'll leave it with you and the Lord. Brother Jake, go ahead.